We've had such an enjoyable week and weekend with Jennifer getting married yesterday. And I was thinking yesterday that I've had a lot of significant men in my life that have meant so much to me. And yesterday, some of them were together. Of course, my dad was here and some of our family and just some men in my life that have been very important to me in helping me. I think of my dad. I think of Pastor Moss and think of my son here, and he's not my little boy anymore, but such a significant man in life. But I also count Pastor Vinay as one of the very significant people of my life. He's been a friend and a brother and someone to talk to and someone who loves the Lord with all his heart. And someone that has brought into my life a great love for India, and I'll always be grateful for that. Vinay and I met in seminary 25 years ago, and we've had a great friendship since then, and every opportunity I can to tease him, I do about something. And we've had a great time together the last 6 weeks, and it's a great privilege to me to welcome Vinay today. Would you welcome Vinay Gaikwad as he comes and speaks?
Thank you, Pastor Wen, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you all, church board member, and all of you for giving me this opportunity to come to your church this morning again and share something from the Word. Well, actually, I'm not preaching because Pastor preaches good sermon. And I'm not here because I'm a great preacher. I'm not here because I'm a great philosopher or maybe great man. I'm here because I'm a great servant of God. And I just want to share some of the stories and what God has been doing in India. And this church, for the last 25 years almost, this church has been a part of our ministry. Supporting our ministry, and especially this church, is being so supportive. And I just want to thank you all for your support, your prayer support, your financial support, and especially these kids. You know, my heart breaks when they are overwhelmed whatever the offering they have collected for pastor's kid. Our pastors, they get less than $100 salary per month. And those poor churches cannot afford pastor to pay their salary because they are very poor. So district have to take care of these pastors. And so whatever the donations and offering that you give towards the mission, especially India mission, it goes to that very particular purpose. And I just want to thank you for whatever you have been doing and being a part of our ministry in India. When I come to America, you know, I draw more closer to God. There are several reasons for that. And one reason is that I get to ride in your pastor's car. There was a man from a church and the pastor, and the man died and went to heaven. And after a few years, this pastor also died and went to heaven. And well, this pastor was very upset at God because his church member had a higher place in the heaven. And so he asked God, why? And God said, well, this man from your church, he was a driver. And when he drove, people prayed. And when you preach, people slept. So your pastor, my dear friend, brother, he's not only a pastor, but he's a driver. I don't know whether good or bad driver, but whenever I ride with him, I draw closer to God. God help me. I know I'm going to die one day, but help us not to die here in this car. We have been friends for the last 25 years, and we had fun, and when we get together, he teased me a lot, and I tease him, and we had a good friendship, and I hope that we will continue our friendship till the end. This morning, I would like to draw your attention to a very familiar passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And you have heard maybe many good sermon from this passage. But still, this morning I would like to draw your attention to this passage, which is called the Great Commission. Chapter 28, Matthew, and beginning verse with 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This passage tells us about mission. This is our commandment given to us from Jesus to go and preach. Go and preach. Even though I speak different language or funny English or maybe broken English, I look different. We eat different food in India, different culture. But still, we are one in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has brought us together because of his love. Even though I come from India, I could come and stand before you as a servant of God because of Jesus. What he means to me, what he means to you, he changes our lives. He changes our situation. And in the diversity, he gives us unity and oneness in Jesus Christ. I have shared that many times, and wherever I go, I like to say it often. Missionaries from this country, many years ago, they came to India. They sacrificed their lives. They denied themselves. They came to India to preach the gospel, because that was their call. God called them. Because Jesus was in their lives or their heart, they could not say no to him. And they came. And many missionaries, they suffered. Many missionaries, they lost their kids because of lack of medicine or medical help. Many missionaries, they fell sick. Many missionaries, they suffered and they went through hardship. But they did not leave our country. They stayed there to share the love of Jesus to our people. And because of that, I am standing before you. I don't know where I would have been if I was not in Christ today. Maybe I shared that, you know, in the first service, that because of missionaries, because of his love and their suffering, they were ready to suffer and sacrifice for Jesus. The good news came to Jesus, and as a result of that, you know, we came to Jesus. And now in India, new missionaries are not allowed. If you want to go to India as a missionary or as a worker of Christ, they will not give you visa. They will specifically ask you for what purpose you want to visit India. And so missionaries are not allowed. Our government does not allow any missionaries or any pastors from outside of country. So whatever you know, we have learned and what the Jesus has touched our lives and made the difference, we have to stand up on our own feet to carry the torch. And this church, last 25 years or more, is involved in mission. Especially, I'm talking about mission in India. Because you give, because you donate and you support financially and you support prayer, you give prayer support, the work of the Lord goes on. I said that our pastors, the church cannot afford pastor to pay their salary because it's a very poor church. People, they go to work in the morning, they earn some money, they work hard during the day, at the end of the day they get paid. They come home, on the way home they buy food, they go home, they cook, they eat, and that's all. They have nothing else for the next day. And so we work in people like this. And most of these people are new believers. So they cannot afford to pay their pastor. So we, as a district, we have to take care of their salary. It is not enough, but still, whatever we could, we can. And so whatever you give, that is your support goes to pastor's salary. Your support goes to buy some needs for these pastors. Last time when I was here, we could buy 10 new motorcycles for pastors so they could go around in different villages and different towns for evangelism. And so this is our mission. Why would anybody have a concern or love for people in India or people in China? Why? Because the love of Jesus bound us together. Because of that cross, there is oneness in Jesus and through Jesus. And so I appreciate your prayer support. I appreciate your financial support to my district mission in India. We have one God, and we are a children of one God. We may look different. We may have come from different background. We may eat different food, but we are one in Jesus Christ. And that is why I'm here. That is why you help others. That is why this church, beyond the borders, come and want to reach out people. Because the love of Jesus, because the commandment which is given to you and to me in the Bible, here's the Great Commission, go and preach. That commission is given to us. If we consider as a Christian, if we consider as a believer, we have to follow. Because this commandment is not coming from any district superintendent or general superintendent or any pastor, but this commandment has come to us through Jesus Christ. Because our God is a loving God. Our God is a missional God. And that's why He sent His Son Jesus Christ on this earth, so that we can have a salvation through Jesus Christ. He is a missional God. And that is why He came, and that is why He is sending us to go into this world and preach the Christ to the lost world. And so here, go. It verbally means as you go. I was studying this passage, and I came across some good commentary and some comments. Go means as you go, wherever you go. Whenever you go, Christ must be seen through our lives. If that Jesus is in my heart, it should be seen. And so as you go, whoever comes in your contact, we ought to share Jesus. That is our mission. One God, one goal, one mission. One purpose that we have to do it. It involves our lifestyle. It involves our lifestyle. Because we are the salt of the world. The Bible tells us. We are the light of the world. So we ought to examine our life. Is it pleasing to God? Is it holy as He expects us to live a holy life? If there is anything in our life, we must get rid of it. Otherwise, one day we have to stand before God and answer Him. He has given us a privilege. He has given us a grace time to examine ourselves and commit our lives to Jesus Christ. He is ready to change our lives. In that life, there is a satisfaction. In that life, there is a joy, there is a happiness, there is a blessing that we cannot have anywhere else in the world. And I'm sure you have experienced that joy and happiness and that blessing in your life because of Christ who makes the difference in our lives. This world is involved in a lot of other worldly things that they are not supposed to because that is not pleasing to God. Our life, we must examine, is it pleasing to God this morning? Are we following His commandment? Are we giving first priority to Jesus in our lives? It involves our lifestyle. Let your light be shine before men, so they will see your good deeds and glorify Father. I'm here in church building in before you. You are here and we all intend to act nicely. We talk nicely and we laugh and we greet each other. And that is fine. That is Christian life. That is Christian life. But when we go out in our private life, how is our life there? That counts. That counts. If we are here, the way we are here, it must be that we are there. Because nobody else sees us, but God sees us. And so, our lifestyle matters. If the love of Jesus Christ in our heart, it should be seen by other people. Wherever I go, as you go, preach, teach, baptize them in the name of Father and Son and Holy Spirit. That is what the Bible tells us. It is not only responsibility of pastor or missionaries or some other workers, paid workers, that they will go and do that job. It is all our responsibility as we, whoever claims to be Christian. And so this morning I want you to examine your life. I want to examine my life. I cannot tell anything about you, but I can tell about myself. And so many people back in India, Indian culture, many people, they love to talk about others. They love to talk about others. This person is so, this kind, that person is like that, that person is like that. What about you? What about you? And then it comes to us, then we think that we are all right. We are Christian, we go to church, we pay our tithe, and we are good Christian. That's what many people assume about themselves. But in the sight of God, how is your life this morning? The time is short. I do not know what I will have to face tomorrow. I shared this in first service, that this world is here. There is a lot of pain and grief and sorrow and problems and suffering. But I am glad that Jesus Christ is our hope. This is going to end one day. And we will be with Jesus if we give our lives to Jesus now. In this world, if we commit ourselves to Him, there will be everlasting life. There will be no tears. There will be no grief. There is no pain and no suffering, but we'll have an eternal life with Jesus. And there is no greater feeling and satisfying thoughts that there is one day I will be with Jesus. I do not know what I have this tonight, but I want to make sure if I die tonight, whether I will be with Jesus or not. As you go, we have a divine message. We have a divine mandate, divine message to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. We had to do exactly, because we are a creator of that mighty God. We are a creature of that mighty God. He is our creator. He has created us and He knows us better than anyone else. He came to save us and He wants others to be saved, but through your lives and through my lives. Last time when I was here, I remember I shared the story of one Hindu lady who came to Jesus. I baptized her in my church a couple years ago, or maybe less than that. Now when she accepted Jesus Christ, and when she started coming to church, there was a problem. There were problems in her family. Her husband was a very strict Hindu man. And he was very upset, and they were having a lot of problems and troubles in their families. And then she shared that, "Pastor, please pray." And we were praying for this lady and her husband. And now, a couple months ago, I was at their place, my wife and I. And that man asked many questions. And he said, "Well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in any God." And he was not ready to come to church, but when we left that house, I said, "We will be praying for you." And we were praying, and we are praying. A couple of weeks ago, when I was talking to my wife, and she told me over the Skype that this man, he and his wife, they had come to see me, but I was not there. So my wife led him to Christ, and he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And I praise God for that. And many good things happen when a pastor is not home. And I think I need to come often here, so somebody will get saved there. So his name is Brother Girish. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The reason I'm telling you that, even though, you know, in India, a Hindu country, lot of religion, lot of different cultures and languages. Do you know there are 250 major languages in India? Asoka, you can imagine how many religion and sub-caste and all. It's a mess, I would say. But still, our Lord is at work, even in a country like India. Because of your prayers and because of your support, the work of the Lord goes on and on. There are a lot of other things and other stories that I would like to share, but I have limited time. And pastor has not, first service he told me that you can preach till 10:15, but second service he didn't tell me how long I can preach. And I don't know, you know, in one time, in one church, they had a guest speaker, and the guest speaker asked pastor how long can he preach, and the pastor told him, "You can preach as long as you want, but 11:30 people will go home." So he said, "I can preach as long as I want." But I don't know, that will not happen here, I'm sure. We have a divine mandate, we have a divine message, we have a divine mission, and we have divine mentor. Because Jesus said, "I will be with you till the end." We are not ourselves. When I feel sick or when I'm not feeling well, and then my wife comes and she asks me, "Would you like to have tea or coffee or medicine? How you are feeling? Do you have a fever?" and all that, and she sits beside me. I feel so good that my wife loves me and she is with me in my sickness. When I was reading this, till the end I will be with you. If we feel so good that our wives, our husband, or our beloved one, when they are with us in the trials and difficulties or maybe sickness and all that, how much more satisfying it is to know that Jesus is with us till the end. He's not going to leave us anywhere. He has given us mission, but that fulfill that mission, He is with us to give us power and strength. Acts chapter 1 and 8 says, "You will receive power and Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the end of the earth, and I will be with you." Praise the Lord. So when I am out there, I do not have to worry what I am going to speak and how I am going to do and how I am going to witness and how I am going to win this person. That is not our responsibility. All you have to do is obey God and go and preach and tell about Jesus Christ, and He will do the rest. We have a divine mentor, and that He is our Lord Jesus Christ. "I will be with you always." We are promised by His presence. Whatever He has told us to do, it should not become a burden to us. "Oh, now we had to do it because He told us to do it, and now by our face or gesture we could tell that we didn't like it." But we must do it very happily, joyfully, because when we do His will, there is a blessings, there is a joy and happiness. And so we as a Christian, we must do what is natural for us to do, and God will do supernatural for us. We have to do what is possible for us to do, and God will do impossible for us. We have to do our part, and God will do His part. God's people help building God's kingdom. We did not bring anything in this world, and we will not take anything from this world. And the Bible tells us to store up your treasure in heaven. And how we can store our treasure in heaven? Now, in this world, we had to give for God's work. We had to give for God's kingdom. Store up your treasure in heaven. We had to help needy. We had to give for the poor. Support God's ministry. We have to help our brothers and our sisters, those who are in need. And in doing that, an all important thing is we have to share the love of Jesus Christ to the lost. There are so many incidents that I can share that people came to Jesus Christ. In my town, there are several of people, Hindu people, Muslim people, Buddhist people, they come to Jesus. Because somewhere in their heart there was a thirst and hunger for the truth. And as they were looking and searching for the truth, they came to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is truth. "I am the life. I am the truth." And there are the reason I'm telling you that, you know, in America it is so easy to go out and evangelize, because that person does not belong to any other God. He does not believe in any other God. So it is rather easy to tell him about Jesus Christ. But in India, when that person belongs to Hindu religion, when his beliefs are different than ours, it is difficult, but still yet not impossible. Because the life who is going to change is not you and me. The life who changes is Jesus Christ. All we had to do is, we had to follow the commandment. Go and preach. Go and preach. That is our commandment. When I started church, pastoring a church in India in 1993, we were having 129 members in our church. Over the years now, we have been grown up quite a bit. Now we're having 750 members in our church. And I thank God, not because of what I have done, not because of I am a good pastor, but because God is using me for His ministry. One day in my life, when I gave my life to Jesus, I said, "Your will and your way will be done in my life." And that night, God was talking to me. I was dealing with Him, and I committed my life to Him. And since then, there were up and downs in my life. But now, you know, I am there as a pastor. I am there as a district superintendent, and I have given my life to Jesus. So I want you to pray for our district. I want you to pray for our church, our ministry. When I was in seminary, many people were saying, "Well, now Vinay, you can stay here now. It's life is now very nice, and would you like to stay?" And you know, yeah, anybody would like to stay in America, in a great country, nice people. And I was thinking about my ministry and life, and I said, "God, if you have called me to minister, I don't know your will yet, but help me to go back to my country. That is my wish, Lord. Help me." And He did help me. Many people were trying to fix me with girls, because I was single that time. And they were saying, "Vinay, there is a girl, you can ask her out." And somebody would say, "Vinay, there is a beautiful girl, you can ask her out," and all that. And then I was praying, "Lord, if I get married here, I might end up here. But I want to go back to my people and serve there." And so I knew deep down in my heart that there is a wonderful lady that God has prepared, and He would direct me there. And there was a beautiful girl back in India, and she was praying after she committed her life, "Lord, give me a husband who is a pastor." To make a long story short, we got married. And I thanked Lord for my wife. After she became a Christian, until now, you know, she has read her Bible 27 times, whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And every day, before go to bed, she would read 4 chapters a day. She wouldn't sleep otherwise. Now she is my living concordance. And many times I said, "Hey, Joe, where is that passage? Where is that story? Do you know?" And she said, "Oh, okay, yeah, go and see in Ephesians chapter 5 or Matthew or John or something like that." And she is very dedicated and very committed wife that God has given to me. And I am very thankful to God for a wonderful wife and 2 kids that He has given to me. And she is involved in the ministry. Every day in the evening she is out for evangelism. She goes to orphanage. She goes to a different location for women's meeting. And she's involved, and I'm very thankful for her. In my district, when I started in 2001, we had 9 churches in our district. And over the years, now last 12 years, we have grown up quite a bit. Now we have 70 churches in our district. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank you and thank the pastors for his continuous support, prayer support and finance support to our district. But we have only 20 pastors and 3 lay pastors in our district. We have 3 Jesus Film teams. And you would ask me, 20 pastors and 3 lay pastors and 3 Jesus Film teams, how could you have 70 churches in your district? Let me tell you, each pastor is pastoring 3 or 4 churches in my district. Monday, that pastor goes to this congregation. Wednesday, they go to different congregation. Thursday, different congregation. And Friday, different congregation. And this is what they do all week round. One pastor is pastoring 3 and 4 churches. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In America, you have a lot of pastors and, you know, they are in the ministry. But in India, nobody wants to be a pastor unless he is really called by God and he responds to God's call. Nobody wants to be a pastor because they get very small salary, very little salary. And people just don't want to go into that. And so I want you to pray for pastors. I want to increase our pastoral staff. I want to reach out to people. And we work in poor people. I already said that. People are ready to accept Jesus Christ because a lot of problems in their families, sickness, suffering, and all mess. In all that, Jesus makes the difference. And they want, and they come and they said, well, pray for our problem. Pray for our family. Pray for my wife. Pray for my husband. And when, you know, we pray, and when the Lord answers that prayer, they know that Jesus has healed them or Jesus has solved their problems. And this is how we can contact people and, you know, do follow-up work and give them Bible and then have a small group and then organize church and then we baptize people. So this for next 10 years, we want to reach 1,000 villages. We want to have more pastors. We want to start 100 churches in our district in the next 10 years. We want to baptize at least 1,000 people. And that means 200 baptism or 100 baptism every year. And last year, we have baptized 85 people from different backgrounds. Thank you very much for your prayer. Thank you very much for your support. The target is way high. I don't know how we can reach it. But as William Carey says, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. I'm going to attempt it. Are you going to attempt? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, your way and your will be done in my life? Are you ready to commit yourself? And you have. I know you have. But this morning, for mission, would you assure me of your prayers? I do assure you of my prayers. I will pray for Pastor Wayne Krull, his family. They are hosting me. They always put up with me. And once I become a friend to somebody, it's not very easy to get rid of me. I will keep coming. And Debbie and Wayne, they are so gracious and they always welcome me. Luke is here. And Jennifer and Laura, a wonderful family that God has given to me. And of course, all you people also. You know, in India, people like to get white color, fair color, and they put all lotions and powder and snow and some, and they want to get look fair and white like you are. And then when I come to America, I find people, they want to get like tan, like us. So they put lotions and they lay down in the sun and they want to, never satisfied. That is human nature. That is human nature. We are not satisfied with what God has given to us. And so I went back in 92, got married, have a wonderful family, and my family is waiting for me, and I'm anxious to go back, and I request you to pray for my family, pray for my journey, pray for my district, so in the days ahead of us, we will be able to reach more people. As much as we can, we will be able to reach more people, win more people for Christ, and bring them in God's kingdom. But for that, we need our commitment. There was one day, there was a pig, and there was a chicken traveling. And the chicken saw a sign in front of the church, feed the poor. And chicken said to pig, let's feed them a breakfast. And pig said, okay, good idea. What should we give them for breakfast? And the chicken said, well, we should give egg and ham for breakfast. And the pig said, well, to give an egg will be your contribution, but to give ham will cost my life. That is true. Jesus wants us to commit our life to Him. And He said, give your life to me, and I will give you abundant life. Praise the Lord. Because our God is a living God, a resurrected Christ, who has forgiven me. One day came in my life where I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was far away. Even though I was born in a Christian family, I was far away from God. But that night, He spoke to me in a very special way. And I knew, and there is a lot of issues in my life, a lot of sins in my life that I need to get rid of it and get right with God. And I gave my life. I committed my life. And that night, I realized that Christianity is not a religion like Hindu religion or Muslim religion or Buddhist religion, but Christianity is something that you can have a living relationship with a living God who changed my life. That day, I was overwhelming. I was filled with joy and happiness and His blessing. And still, I experienced that in my life. Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you very much for listening to my Indian accent and broken English. Please forgive me. And please, I request you to pray. There is some slides. Should we go through all them? We will go through these slides rather quick. It's my family there. This picture was taken 3-4 years ago. Now my kids are taller than me, almost. This is our worship service in our church. Praise and worship time. The lady in red sari, she's the one that I told you about. She came to Christ from Hindu background. Now her husband has also accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Next. One side of the church, all men sit. And the other side of the church, all ladies sit. And you would ask me why. Because the church is a lot smaller than this one. And we're having 700 people in the church, but Sunday attendance is maybe 300 and 350. And these ladies feel a little bit awkward or to sit beside too close to beside other men, so they sit separately. Next, this woman from village place. You can see the Bible in front of them. Maybe they have studied the Bible. Very simple. That house, they're outside the house. That is their porch, maybe. I mean, that house is made out of dirt. Next. These two ladies are wives of our two pastors sitting outside the church after the church service. Next. These girls, they're Muslim girls from my son's school. This man, handicapped man, sitting in his tricycle, basically begging for food. Next. These guys are from my church, sitting on a motorbike, ready to go. They are not supposed to sit three on the motorbike, but they are enjoying. Village house, very poor people. That container on the left side, that is for water storage. No washing machines. This lady is washing her clothes outside. Next. We have a lot of water problem in India. As your pastor has shared, there is only one place in the town. And everybody comes there and gets drinking water from that well. You can see how many people. Right from the morning, you will see people there for water. Next. This lady is carrying water. I would guess maybe 50 to 60 pounds on her head. And there is one bucket in her left hand. So let me tell you, this is the lady and family that we dug the well outside of their house, and that this church had supported a sponsor for that well. Now she doesn't have to go 2 kilometers every day to get water. Now they have a well just front of their house, and I thank you for sponsoring for well. Next, people travel. Some people from the villages. That's all they have on that bullock, we call bullock car. That's all they have on that car. Nothing else. And they, time to time, they move from this place to that place. Wherever they get job, they can have a small hut or cottage. You will see in the next slides, please. This is some members from the church, village church. Next. See, this is we call cottage or a small hut. The people, they go there, they get job, and then they build small hut like this, and they stay there for a few months, and when the job is done or finished, they move to different village. Next. This is village church. This is how they sit on the floor, and they have some kind of drums playing. Next. Same church, this woman sitting on the floor, this worship time. Next. This is where we are building a church. This pastor and I, this foundation work is going on. And maybe next year we will see building in this place. Next. This is one of our pastor. Last time when I was here, when we went back, we could buy 10 new motorcycles for our pastors so they could go nearby villages and towns to preach and evangelize. Next. This is from the same church which we saw a couple slides ago, couple minutes ago. You can see that bell. Whenever pastor rings that bell, people around the church or wherever they are, they come to worship. They know that that's the time to come. But when Pastor Krell and myself, we were at this church, took this photo, that bell, pastor hit his head twice there to that bell. So I don't know why he hit it. Maybe he didn't see it. But that was fun. Next. This is my vehicle, and there are 7 or 8 people sitting in that. If it was in America, maybe 4 people would be sitting there. But in India, people like to sit close to each other, no problem, no complaint. next. This is our pastor's gathering. Every month, first week of the month, we have all pastors coming together for worship and prayer and studying the Word of God. Next. Pastor and his wife. This is how they sit on the floor. Very small room. 10 by 8 feet. That's all. And you can see some vessels and, you know, in the back. And that's all that lady has. She's preparing tea for me and Pastor Wayne. Next. This is another pastor. A young pastor. He also got a new motorcycle couple years ago. And I was handing over the key to this pastor. I think that's all. Thank you very much for listening. Can I play?
Thank you.
Can I play? Thank you.
I've asked Vinay to play his harmonica. Debbie, I think, is going to come and play with him. And ushers, would you come and receive an offering if the Lord gives you the opportunity and you want to give to the support of the Mid-Maharashtra district and Pastor Vinay and his family and his pastors? I invite you to give whatever you're able to.
We didn't get much time to practice, just once. And, you know, I'm not very, I'm not used to play a lot of. If I make mistake, please just bear with me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Vinay. May the Lord bless you and keep you and watch over you and guide you. And the same for each one of you. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless. Have a good afternoon.